Hi, you're listening to The Well Podcast, living water for a thirsty world. Join us every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock and 10:30.
Well, let me say that I am thrilled and thankful that even on opening day of the NFL, there are so many of you here. And I know opening day was Thursday, but come on. Opening day of the Saints. I'll just offer this to you. We have a 9 o'clock service as well, because we're running out of chairs for our 10:30 here. So if you can make it for nine, you have like a whole extra hour before the game starts. Should you need like cheese dip or something, you'll have time to do that. So we're talking about breaking news. Over the next 3 weeks, today and then 3 weeks following, we're looking at each gospel story, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Actually, we're doing it Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John, to talk about how Jesus' story began. Now, what is the first verse in each of these gospels? They're all quite different, and we're going to talk about why they're different and what that has to do with us. So today we start with Mark. Mark is actually the oldest gospel, though it's not the first gospel. The first gospel is Matthew in the New Testament, but the oldest is Mark, interestingly enough. So I invite you to stand as we read together this opening verse of Mark, chapter 1, verse 1. Let us read together. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Son of God. Amen. Yeah, you may be seated. Right. That's kind of the point. I love, 9 o'clock was a little slower going of getting that. Just, that's how it starts. The good news of Jesus Christ, Son of God. You who are grammar Nazis should be really uncomfortable right now. Because there's something that's missing from that sentence. What's missing? A verb. There's no verb in that. But what, can you, Brianne, could you pull that verse up again? I know, I just threw you a big fat curveball there. There we go, all right. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Son of God. Right. It should, now I'd be more comfortable with it if it said, this is the beginning of the, or if it said, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Son of God, is, but that's how it just, but that's the gospel of Mark. Mark, the gospel of Mark is very brief. It's very to the point. Mark uses the word immediate over and over and over again. Jesus immediately did that, and then he immediately did this, and then he immediately did that. The introduction of the gospel is very, very important. Introductions set the tone for the entire story of what follows. To show that, what I'd like to do, I'd like to spend about 4.5 minutes. We're together going to watch the beginning of the movie Up, Disney's Up, if you've seen that. There are no words in the introduction to the, yeah, I know. Those of you who know, like, oh, great, you know, getting ready for it. There are no words in the beginning of this movie, but it's amazing how this introduction sets the tone and the background for the entire movie. So let's check that out. It's amazing how an introduction can set an entire stage of what a story is about. A whole lifetime happened in those 4 minutes. Not a single word was spoken. The power of an introduction. Sometimes introductions to stories are grand and epic. Like, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, Sometimes stories can take some time to get going, like the 15-minute prologue of Lord of the Rings, or the 20-minute prologue of Les Mis, or in this movie here. Sometimes it just takes time to set the stage. But then other times, stories just kind of start. Like Moby Dick. Do you know the first sentence of Moby Dick? Call me Ishmael. That's it. Mark is in that vein. It just kind of starts. There's no backstory. There's no birth narrative. There are no angels we have heard on high, or the shepherds in the field, or Jesus is just kind of there. It starts. the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, Son of God. It's filled with mystery, and this is kind of the point of the Gospel of Mark. It happens quickly. It's abrupt. There's not a lot of detail that's given. Jesus is moving from place to place and going here and going there. Jesus is just kind of there on the scene. Within the first four verses, it says it doesn't say this is. It's part of the point of later in the sermon. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, Son of God. The fourth verse, it says, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness. Like, from where? Like, what was he doing? Who were his parents? John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness. And then later on, just a few verses later there, it says, after John was arrested, Jesus started preaching good news. Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Wait, what happened to John? It just says, after John was arrested. Like, for what? What was he doing? Where was he going? Mark is just kind of matter of fact. It just kind of starts, and then it just kind of goes with the details. It's an interesting story. It's the shortest of our Gospels. Just because it's short and there aren't many words doesn't mean that it isn't obviously important or that it's easy. Mark, because he doesn't give background on who Jesus is or his parents or Bethlehem, doesn't talk about John the Baptist's family or anything, Mark doesn't seem concerned, or at least overly concerned, with backstory. Theologically, this is very good news. Mark does not seem concerned with what has happened in the past. Mark does not seem concerned with what has happened in the lives of his audience in the past. All Mark is concerned with is that you get on the train and start moving quickly. Whatever happened yesterday, it's yesterday. That's kind of the mantra of Mark. Whatever happened in the past, it's in the past. Get on the train and let's get moving. It's the Gospel of Mark. Mark is not concerned with you having all of the answers or being theologically eloquent. Mark is concerned with knowing Christ and going where Christ is sending you. The beginning of the good news, the author of Mark says. It may seem like not much, but this was a politically heated introduction. The beginning of the good news of who? Jesus. Christ. Son of God. The thing is, at that time, in the first century Palestine, it was Caesar who brought good news. It was printed on money. It was the idea of Augustus, Son of God. It was Caesar was divine. And the peace that Caesar afforded was the good news. Good news, we're not at war with these other countries. Caesar was the bringer of good news. So for Mark to start from the very first verse, this is the good news of Jesus. Christ, which means Messiah or anointed. Oh, and by the way, he's the Son of God. Not Caesar. Jesus is the Son of God. And you wonder why John the Baptist got arrested so early in the ministry. We haven't even gotten to chapter 2 yet, and John is in jail. Jesus, early on in the gospel, at the beginning of chapter 2, and don't panic, I'm not going chapter by chapter. It's just a matter of fact, we're in chapter 2. In chapter 2, Jesus is picking grain on the Sabbath. And of course, this really bothered the Pharisees, right? You're not supposed to pick grain on the Sabbath. Like, Jesus, what are you doing? You're breaking the law. And then Jesus goes up to them and says, have you ever read that story of David and his men, King David? They went and got the bread from the presence in the temple, and they ate it when they were hungry. Have you read that? This is Jesus going to the keepers of the law, saying, have you read the Bible? You can imagine how the Pharisees took this. Pardon, Jesus? Excuse me? Or a phrase that my dad often says, for those of us who have read the Bible, da-da-da-da-da. Later in chapter 2, it's again the Sabbath. It's much like our story that we did last week. A man with a withered hand is there before Jesus on the Sabbath, and Jesus heals him. Again, breaking the rules. And no one shouts, hallelujah. No one says, do it again. You know, no one says, my cousin has a lame hand. Let's bring him. Jesus, what are you doing tomorrow? Can we bring? The Pharisees, they go out with the Herodians, and they figure out a way to get rid of him. Now, a little background. I know Mark is not interested in backgrounds, but I am. Pharisees and Herodians, these are different groups of folk. The Pharisees want a theocracy, which means God is in charge. God is the king. The law is the law, okay? Theocracy. That's what the Pharisees wanted, the keepers of the law. God is in charge. The Herodians were puppet kings from Rome. Rome put them in place and put them in power. Like King Herod the Great, that's where they get the name, the Herodians. They were under the thumb of Rome. They did not want a theocracy. Caesar was in charge. But they both came together to figure out a way to get rid of Jesus. Jesus brought enemies together. Now, there's a whole nother sermon in that. But Jesus, from the very beginning, this good news was radical, was politically heated, was revolutionary. And it starts with these few words, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Son of God. The cost of discipleship is very high. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote a book called The Cost of Discipleship, and this is what he says about discipleship. Cheap grace, is the preaching of forgiveness without repentance, baptism without discipline, communion without confession. Such grace is costly because it calls us to follow. But it is grace because it calls us to follow Jesus Christ. It is costly because it asks of you your life. But it is grace because it offers true life. It is costly because it compels you to submit to the yoke of Christ and follow him. But it is grace because Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, Son of God. It seems to be such a short beginning. It almost leaves us in suspense in a way. And the Gospel of Mark ends with suspense. The resurrection account, Easter Sunday. This is how the Gospel of Mark ends. When I find it on my sheet. Something about Jesus, like raising from the dead. Something. See, I did it out of order. That's the problem. All right, so at the end of... That's what happens when you don't look at your notes the whole time. What happens is, I'll paraphrase. What happens, the women go to the tomb, and they find that the stone had been rolled away. And it says that they ran away from the tomb and told no one anything, for they were afraid. What? That's how the Gospel of Mark ends. They ran from the tomb and said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Mark is full of this suspense. There's actually a theological narrative going on in the Gospel of Mark called the Messianic Secret. Jesus does things in secret. Like, he'll heal someone and say, don't tell anybody. He'll go over here and he'll heal someone and he'll say, don't tell anybody. It's almost as if he's using reverse psychology. Like, he gets up there and he changes someone's life and makes them clean and he goes, don't tell anyone. But there's this secret that's running throughout the Gospel of Mark until chapter 8, which is halfway through the Gospel. Exactly halfway. It's 16 chapters. Mark 8, Jesus is sitting with his disciples and he says, who do they say that I am? And they say, well, some say you're Elijah, some say you're a really great guy, some say that you're John the Baptizer back from the dead. And then he says, so who do you say that I am? And then Peter gets up, and what does Peter say? You are the Messiah. Which, by the way, Mark announces in the very first verse of the story. This is the good, it doesn't say this is, it says the good news of Jesus Christ, Son of God. Christ means Messiah. The audience has known this the whole time, and we get to watch this drama unfold until Peter finally says, "You are the Messiah." And then what does Jesus say after that? "Don't tell anyone." This is strange. Don't tell anyone that I'm the Messiah. And there's a whole other sermon in that. The beginning of the good news. Some stories begin dramatically. With the thing scrolling. Some stories take a long time to tell. Other stories just kind of start and happen. Sometimes our story with God, maybe you have had that powerful experience, that Damascus Road experience that we talk about, where you are a different person, new wine in new wineskins. It is this dramatic shift in who you are. Or maybe your story, you've been going to church for a long time, and it's just kind of this gradual falling in love with God each and every day, that your story with Christ, it takes a long time to develop, and it takes a long time to figure out. Or maybe this is like your first time ever in church today, and you've heard about Jesus, but you're not quite sure, and you're very Gospel of Mark. I don't know. Even if someone told me to tell them about Jesus, I wouldn't know what to say. All of our stories are different. But there is one thing that we can all glean from this beginning of the Gospel of Mark. Again, can you put that back up on the screen again, Brianne? The beginning of the good news, the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Again, what is missing from that? The verb. Yeah, the verb. There's no is. There's no to be verb in there, right? It should say something like, "This is the beginning of the gospel," or it should say, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the story that follows," or something like that, or "is really great," or something. But I think that's to the point. I think Mark is calling, because there is no verb in that opening verse, I think it is Mark calling his community to be the verb, to be the action of that subject, to be the to be in that verse. There's the subject. Mark is calling us to put it into action, to be the verb that gives power and meaning to the gospel of Jesus. So, I want you to think about a sentence. And I think it's on your cheat sheet. I'm not sure. I can't remember. I wrote it like 2 hours ago. It's been so long. I want you to think about this. How would you fill in the blank? The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is... I want you to chew on that this week. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ is... In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.